On this episode of Super Normalized, I'm talking again to Hans Wilhelm. Hans makes great videos. He's been on before, and you can actually watch that one at the link there. And if you found that one interesting, you'll enjoy this one as well. Now, if you've not seen him before, you'll still enjoy this one because there is so much information in it again. We talk about karma, the meaning of karma, why people that do lots of bad things don't get karma instantly, the goodness of doing good things to create more good karma for yourself, and also about soulmates. We go into depth about soulmates. I used to be a bit of a romantic addict. I'm looking for my own soulmate myself, and we go into why that happens, the loneliness that we feel, and solutions within that to basically be more in a centered state of being so that you actually do raise your frequency and meet that right person. There's also a bit of a tip on what this Earth School is about and the benefits of understanding that and how you can really graduate. Now, I'm sure you'll enjoy this show.
Subscribe.
Welcome back to Super Normalized, Hans Wilhelm. Hans, it's great to see you again.
Great to see you again, CJ. So I'm delighted and honored to be back on your show again.
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear what we can come through and pull through in this episode because I've had a look at your videos and the two most popular ones are ones that I think pretty much nearly everyone would like to know the answer to. And that's, I picked How Karma Works and Five Facts About Soulmates That You Didn't Know. Those two subjects fascinate me. I mean, for example, the soulmate one, I was just about to start going into a big talk about it before we started here, but I thought I better start recording. One of the things I think that drives a lot of people is this desire for the soulmate experience. And of course, I think there is a lot of distraction within that, and we can also get caught up in the search rather than actually maybe working on ourselves as well.
Yeah, I guess. Loneliness is probably one of the biggest problems we have as human beings here in life. I mean, it's the reason for so many addictions, so many suicide, etc. is loneliness. It is quite natural for some to wish for somebody who would totally understand me and love me and so on. And it's a natural way of looking for a partner. There's nothing really wrong with it. But people always put their goal too high. They want a soulmate, somebody who is ideally matched with me. But there's a very specific reason that in most cases we do not have that person in our life and we will not have the person, and it's also meant for a purpose that we don't have him, the person. Why do I say this? We have to first remember, why are we here? What is the purpose of our life here on Earth? And it is my understanding that life is a school, like a college, basically, where we have an opportunity to learn certain skills, to share love, and to learn certain tasks, to anchor light into this planet. There are many reasons why people incarnate. But the main reason is probably to undo our karma, to really negate, to find true forgiveness and making amends so that our vibration gets higher again and we are attracted back to where we come from, to our home of highest vibration, of absolute reality. Mm. That is, I think, the main reason. Most people are not aware of it. Many people think this is the only life I'm having, but that is not the case, that we have many lives before and life is only here very short. It's only, 28,000 days as an average. It's very, very short. So why are we then here? When I said we have to learn something, we have to develop something. Now, when we grow up as a kid, we have our best friends, we have our family members, our grandma, we love our parents. They all support us and it's great and we really, really enjoy them and we don't want to really let go of them if they're dear people. But when college comes, we suddenly are alone. And there we are for the first time, we are basically facing the world. And it's a reason that our family, our dog, and everybody is not coming with us. It's a reason so that we suddenly develop all the skills ourselves, in ourselves. And in this case, to develop love by ourselves. It's okay to be loved always by our parents and so on, and love back. It's very easy. But suddenly I'm alone. And now love? Where does love come in? What does it mean? I have to discover that I don't need the love from the outside. I am love, and I've got the love within myself to share. And I think that's a very important point. As long as we run around looking for love outside, we want to approval, appreciation, acceptance, we become slave of other people. We have to reach the point where we say, I am love. I am made in the name of God, in the image of God, which is love. And I'm here to share love. And if I get love back from other people, that is great. But the first person I have to marry in my life is myself. I have to love myself. And I don't mean this in an egoistic way of love and so on, how wonderful I am and so on. But I really must accept myself and be with myself and discover that all the love that I ever need in life is actually in me. We know the sentence of Christ saying, the kingdom of God is in us. But when the whole kingdom and God in us is, then of course all the love we ever would need is in us. So now here in college, we can now learn to give love and to be of service to other people. That is the reason why we are not surrounded or supported by another soulmate. Now, it is not for everyone. Sometimes a soulmate incarnates with a person when they have a very lofty goal. Like, for instance, they want to share certain spiritual teachings to the world. They want to give something very special, and that needs a lot of effort. So their purpose is not to grow, but their purpose is to really teach and give. In these instances, they are sometimes supported by their soulmate. But in most cases, we are not here to have our soul mate, but we can have a soul partner. And this is very important. We are not here to be alone. That is not a way for us to grow spiritually, because we need mirrors around us. The mirrors reflect back to us who we are. And therefore, we will find a soul partner. That can be our spouse. It can be even a good friend. It can be even, if necessary, an animal, a pet. But there are actually other beings in our life with whom we have an interaction. And our soul partner, contrary, our soulmate is always in utter harmony with us. Our soul partner, our spouse, never or really is. They're here to support us. They're here to help us. But they're also here to challenge us, because they are our mirrors. Whatever we don't like in them, and they will always drive us crazy at times, that is something that is in us. And therefore, we have to look at ourselves. They give us a mirror so we can see what is still needs to be cleansed within ourselves. That's basically the secret of it. So yes, we can have a soulmate, and we can be in love with them, and we can intimate with him and totally adore him or her. That is absolutely fine. But that is just another soul playing the role of our spouse in this lifetime. They may not be our spouse in another lifetime. They can be our children, our parents, whatever. But in this lifetime, they have decided, I'm your spouse. We may have had many lifetimes before where there will be both spouses together. But it doesn't have to be a spouse. It can be a good friend. It can be some other person whom we really interact very closely with, and also somebody who at times challenges us, questions us. We need that challenge. I've shown this image before. We are basically this little person in the world upside down. There's a smiling face. And the world is surrounded of mirrors. Everybody is a mirror. I'm your mirror, you're my mirror. And wherever this guy looks, he only sees himself. That's why we need a soulmate, or we see other people. So because we can see ourselves, we can discover who we are. What is still problematic with us? What is still unloved? That's basically in a nutshell. And the final thought, which I have always with the soul, is if we really now look around the world and see people around us on a very special level, basically everybody in a way is our soulmate, because we are all connected together. There is no real separation. So when we see another person, a beggar or whatever it is, that is our soulmate. Every person is in a way our soulmate. But the unique soulmate which we live with in the absolute reality, because everybody has an opposite, male has always a female. We are not alone in the absolute reality. We are not single. We are coupled with another spirit being. That is very important, that we do have the masculine and feminine to have some kind of, not tension, but some electricity going on here. So that soul usually does not incarnate at the same time when we incarnate. That's basically in a nutshell about the way how Gabriele, who is a prophetess of the absolute reality and whose books are behind here, and who gave me all from where I draw the material, has explained it to us. And her teachings come from the highest absolute reality. And it says, this is the reason why you don't have a soulmate by your side right now. But you will meet the soulmate again once you have cleared up the bullshit here and unearthed your karma. And you are getting on a higher vibration, which is love. And once you are back in the love, you are together again. But that's the work we all have to do.
Yes, you've got to go through all the blockages that you put in front of yourself to the ultimate truth of who you are.
Yeah, yeah. How do you see that with a soulmate?
Well, for me, I know that when I was younger, I was searching for this soulmate sort of experience, but it wasn't in those sort of words. It was more like just to be loved, really, and to have that sort of deep connection with somebody, because that to me seemed like the juice of the universe. It was like when you had that moment, those moments, you felt really, really alive. So I searched for that, and a part of that had me in a bit of a path where I was a bit of a romantic love addict. And so what happens is you fall in love, and then, you know, then, but the part of that falling in love is you put masks on yourself and on the other person, and you're like, well, this is perfect. Everything's perfect. But then over time, you know, those masks fall away, and the reality is, oh, wait a minute. No, maybe I'm not perfect. And, or maybe she's not perfect either. And you come soon to realize that that's just your own projection. And so then, obviously, the things fall apart and you become to disagreements, and eventually you walk away with a learning, like, oh, well, that wasn't truth. So it I went through.
But you learned a lot from it.
Yes, that's right. I learned a lot from it. And
you had to go through it, yeah.
You have to go through the multiple variations of what not truth is to find truth.
Yeah, you have to find out. And I think it's so important what you say. You were looking for love. I think that's the most natural thing what most of us sort of want to do, the way we behave. As Byron Katie said, if I had one prayer, it would be, God, spare me from the need of appreciation, love, and acceptance. Amen. So that is, I think, the key element why we have all so much trouble, because everybody wants to be loved. Or as the Bible says, vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. Why is it vain? Because we want attention. We want other people to love us. And we want that feeling. But when we really grow, we suddenly realize that's not about them loving us. It's me loving them, and not only loving them, but serving them. When we come to the point of service, there is so much joy. There is so much, how shall I say, gratification in it. Yeah, there is something very special, something much higher when we can really be of service to another person from our own accord, not when we are forced to, when we have to serve somebody. That, of course, is not what I meant. But when it comes from our heart to really help another person. And it doesn't need to be physically. It can be in a prayer. It can be in the blessings we do for the other person. That is love energy, which flows through us first, because it generates in us and goes through us. So we are the first beneficiary of this. Then it goes out to the other person. And then when we really consciously spread this love and spread the service, whatever it is that we can give, that is a most rewarding feeling. And we are not dependent on it. We can give it when we want it, and so when we don't need it, it is in our control. And I think that's part of the reason why we are here in college school, that we here are to discover this enormous potential, love potential in us, and no need for the other person.
Yeah. I agree with that as well. It's a sense of deep grounding within the realization that our core self, our core being, our core link back to the infinite is truly limitless itself as well.
Yeah, coming back full circle again, yeah. And becoming aware of that everything is in us. And it's really possible to do this loving once we understand and accept ourselves and respect ourselves. The word love, self-love, is slightly negative. It can be really sort of overdoing things and so on. I'm in love myself, everybody else secondary. That's sort of what I mean, but fully respecting myself and knowing who I am, discover who I am, why am I here? Asking these important questions. And if I find the answer to that, have I lived so far according to this recognition? If I understand that I am a highly evolved spiritual being and here am in this rather limited, why am I here? What can I do to change it for myself and for others? When all these questions are coming, then I think there's a lot happening for us, and we are given all the information and tools and mostly intuitions, inner feeling. We know all the answers of the world. It's all in us. Nobody needs to watch this show, because the answers are in us. All what we are doing is we bring it to the surface.
True.
The answers are all there.
Yeah, we do have that link to the infinite source, the Akashic record, which is written within us, because we're a holographic fractal reflection of everything.
Yeah, it's a holographic universe. Everything is in us. God is in us, not up there It's in us. That understanding of God, the divinity, the power of God is in us. That is already a tremendous, for me, it was a tremendous relief, tremendous awareness of strength, and also being able to communicate with this power as in a prayer or meditation. And it gave me so much self-security and so on. I don't know, you must have had some similar experience in that way, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I would say definitely it comes and goes with different depths according to where I am in life at times and how much dedication, for example, I'm putting towards my meditation or my journeying practices. And then if I find myself that I've forgotten my connection to that, it seems to pop up in dreams. Oh. And you'll get other messages that way too, I find. It's always interesting. It's like a calling back to who you and who we all are. And I think that's necessary to keep that thread alive.
Yeah, I don't get it in the dreams, I think. I get it when I really sort of, overreact sometimes when I'm getting too loud or too emotional and so on. There's no reason for that. Why did you do that? What was your ego trying to push here? There's no reason to ever be upset about anything. But my ego doesn't think so. So when my ego becomes too strong, then I, as you say, I may have lost that usually closer connection, which comes back once I go sit down, meditate, and go within. And I think what you say is very important. It doesn't go always like this. It goes like this. And we have to accept that.
Yes.
There are dark days like this when we are not. And that must have a purpose as well. Maybe we become more compassionate when we see someone else also making a big mess. Because we are not yet over there. We are not up here. But once we fall down with our connection to divinity, we understand that's where everybody else is at the moment. It's tough. So let's get out around and maybe I can pull someone else as well with it.
Yeah. It's good to be able to step back and instead of reacting, be able to say for yourself, well, okay, that's people just being people and that's what they're doing. It's okay.
Yeah. And also if they upset me, I have the same problem in me. Back to me. Why is my ego getting suddenly so loud? Because it wants to cover up something which I don't want to see. The outside world is only my mirror. So if there's anybody here pushing my buttons, that's what Byron Katie says. Everybody else's purpose is here to push my buttons. And I think that's very important. That's only through them pushing my buttons do I learn to and recognize who I am.
Yeah, yeah. You get a bit of a definition of who you are. All the buttons being pushed in there.
They tell you who you are. The world tells you who you are.
So let's look on the one now. We'll talk about how karma works. Let's get into that. And what is your experience of that? I mean, when I was younger, I used to have all these theories about karma. And one of the things that I used to think was, well, the world isn't actually a karmic like feedback machine, because if it was, then all those bad people that are doing all the bad things to so many bad people across the world, they'd just be wiped out by God, right? So that can't be true. Karma can't be true.
You didn't grow up with the belief in reincarnation, didn't you? You didn't grow up with that.
No, I did not.
No.
It sort of came to me over time. Yeah, yeah.
I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So what is your understanding of karma then in that case? I mean, I've come to the understanding of karma now over time that it's a, again, it's like if you just circle back to the button pushing, it's like another method of the button pushing to assist us in clearing a deeper connection to source.
Yeah, you can see it that way, definitely, definitely.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, I think the important thing, I didn't know about karma. I grew up also in a sort of Christian environment in Germany, and I didn't believe anything what the church was teaching because I couldn't explain, I didn't make sense. If God is love, why are there sick people, why they're killing each other? Didn't make sense at all. And it was only when I was 20 when I came into contact with Edgar Cayce's teaching of reincarnation and karma. And suddenly everything makes sense. And then I also found out, of course, that Christ taught reincarnation. I have a special video on my website, lifeexplained.com, on that subject and how and why it was taken out of the church teachings.
Mm.
So suddenly everything makes more sense if it's not only one lifetime I've had, but many lifetimes. So now, of course, I understand why somebody may incarnate here as a sick person, as a rich person, poor person, etc., because it is related to behavior patterns. Whatever we send out comes back to us. That is a fundamental law of the universe. And there's no exception. You can be rich as a king or you can poor. It doesn't matter. Nobody can escape that rule. That is a rule. What you send out comes back to you. But we think we can get away with it in our short lifetime because a lot of people believe this is only one lifetime, the only life I have. If I take and steal all the riches I want to, who cares? As long as I have got all the toys when I die, and that would be then fine. But it doesn't work that way. The karma is basically every time we have felt, thought, spoken, and acted against the law of love, which is ourselves. We are love. We are on the vibration. The whole universe is nothing but vibration, energy and vibration. And love is the highest one, and we are here right in the material one, which is crystallized spiritual matter, on a very low vibration. And we came from the very highest vibration as eternal perfect spirit beings, and through our self-will and ego will, we have slowly lost the high vibration and come down right here to the three-dimensional reality I covered in many of my videos. And here we are now, and for us to return back to the highest vibration, get our vibration to the highest, we have to undo all this nonsense that we have created, all the selfishness, self-centeredness that we have done over eons and eons of time, which we can call karma. So whenever we act, think, speak, and feel against the law of love, that is immediately recorded in our soul, in the subconscious and conscious mind, in our physical body, because the thought creates chemicals which immediately affects the genes and so on, and therefore our genes as later. It is also stored in the person we have harmed, we have stolen from, for instance. And then it is stored in the Akashic records, which is like a corona around the planet Earth, where all everything what happens on planet Earth is stored as a memory. And most importantly, in the repository planets of the material and semi-material universes. That's actually where all the karma is stored. And now we understand also where astrology comes from. Astrology is basically explaining that how the stars have an influence on us. And I've made a special video on that one as well. So there is our negative act. We have stolen some money from someone else, and that is now stored in all these different places, most importantly in the planets. And eventually, when the planets are full or in a certain kind of constellation or figuration, they download the very karma back to us. It's like the iCloud. It comes back to us. This can be in the same lifetime. Most is in the same lifetime, but it can also be hundreds of lifetimes later. And then suddenly we are hit by the very same thing that we have inflicted on another person. And that comes sometimes as a total surprise. We cannot understand why we are suddenly sick, why we suddenly have a blow of fate, and why we lose our job. It's something horrible happens to us because it may be related to something in previous lifetimes where we have done the same thing to someone else. And why does it come back to us? Not as punishment. There is no punishment in the entire universe. It is only as a lesson tool, a lesson for us to learn, to grow, so that we now experience the pain and suffering that we have caused others on our own, in our own life, in our own body, so that we no longer do that. Because for as long as I hurt everybody around me and I have no consequences from it, I will not stop. I will just become more centered, self-centered, narcissistic and egoistic I can be. Why should I stop? There is nothing coming back to me. But it does come back in this lifetime or in lifetimes later. And suddenly, all the negativity that I have sown comes back to me. Also the good things, by the way. It's not just only the negative. But the good thing is slightly different because being good, so to quote, is our natural being. This is who we are, loving. This is our natural being. The moment we are doing some good karma, we're basically true to ourselves. But anyway, we come back to the bad karma. The karma, as I said, is then stored and these things and come back to us. And the only way to release this karma, there are only two ways. Either through expiating, to feeling it, like somebody is like experiencing the pain that I've given someone else, or through forgiveness. That's why Christ said, forgive 70 times 70 is one of the most important things he has taught, that we forgive each other. That is so important. Forgiveness eliminates the karma. If the other person forgives us for what we have done, the karma is done. God cannot forgive us anything unless the other person has firstly forgiven us. So we must go and ask for forgiveness from that person. Sometimes they are no longer alive, then we can do it in our mind spiritually. We can ask also Christ to intervene and help us so that he touches the other's soul to become more open to the idea to forgive us. Because some people don't want to forgive. And I've had a whole video on forgiveness. People think not forgiving, that makes me strong, makes me powerful. I have control over the other person and a lot of other nonsense. That is because people don't want to forgive, and they're also afraid of change and many other reasons. But eventually, everything has to be forgiven or expiated or felt. So these are the two choices. That's a law of grace, that we can undo our karma. It's also very interesting when we have got a negative behavior pattern, like smoking, for instance. And before the karma, because we're doing harm to our body, and before the karma comes back as a cancer, as a lung cancer, for instance, we are always warned by the spiritual world. And it's just in cases very often, coughing in the morning, hey, that's strange, and so on. So there are always signs. There are always signs before something majorly happens in our life. Nothing comes out of the blue. I take always this example of 9/11 here in New York, where the skyscrapers were shot down, That wasn't the first time. They tried to blow it up 10 years earlier. There was an attempt where they tried to drive a whole truck loaded with dynamites or explosives into the cellar to blow up these things. That was a warning then. It didn't work out because the truck was too big. It couldn't get into that door. But this is a typical example. Nothing happens out of the blue. All the disasters we see in the world, in our personal life, if we really look carefully and says, is this really the first time this has happened? And we see the signs, because this is grace. This is God trying us, teaching, telling us, stop it. Ask for forgiveness before the whole thing explodes. This is the love we are constantly surrounded with. And that's something to consider. And the final thing which comes to mind when we speak about karma is that I mentioned earlier that every thought also has an effect on our body, you know, every word as well. The chemicals change our genes, epigenetics, as we know from Bruce Lipton. So constantly we change our genes by acting negatively. Why is that so important? Because, as I said, we are vibrational beings. And when we need to reincarnate again to reap our karma, we need bodies of same vibration or similar vibration. So our offsprings are now having the genes of a criminal, basically, because I've stolen some money from someone else. And their offspring has the same genes. Now, they do not express themselves in their lifetimes. But they are there. Should I, as a soul, choose to reincarnate again, then I've got the perfect vehicle, because that little baby has the same gene vibration than my soul. And I can enter that soul. That's how perfect everything is arranged. So that's in a nutshell about karma, I would say. So there is good karma as well. As I said, this is our true essence, how we are. But the bad karma is every time we basically are selfish or self-centered or act against the law of love. And that in my own life is a lot during the day. Can I hate to think of how many self-centered or selfish thoughts I have, often words as well. So what I'm sharing here is basically what I have read, what I note, what I've made videos about. But I'm still working on it. I'm a student. I haven't managed, I mastered it all.
I would say that too, is that, we have no choice but to live in this, and we're not perfect by any means, but it is good to build good karma. And to sort of focus towards that sort of a path. In some magic practices, they call that building merit. So, it's a...
Building what?
No, merit. Okay, yeah, yes. So like building more goodness into the universe by your actions and your thoughts and your deeds. And one of the easiest ways that you can do that, first of all, is to maybe first edit what content that you're taking in yourself. You know, so... Do you wish the things that are being pushed upon you in the news, the things that are being pushed upon you in entertainment, you have a choice of turning it off. And if it's not at the right vibration, it's pulling you down to the vibration it's coming from. So do you need that in your life to feel alive, or can you do something better? Think about that when it comes to making a choice on watching anything, for example, because you don't have to participate in negative sort of frequencies that are just sort of pretty much everywhere nowadays when it comes to the news and the things that you see on streaming services. That you don't have to participate. And just because it's popular doesn't mean it's good.
Talking about Halloween, yes, for instance.
Yeah, well, for example, yeah, Halloween, you know. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. As I said earlier, we have to learn to love ourselves, which means respect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if we really respect ourselves, then we are very careful on the input, like the food we're eating, as well as what media we consume. This is definitely part of self-respect. Very true what you say. Yeah, I agree fully. Yeah.
Well, in that case, you know, food we are eating is a form of frequency. And in that case, all of the media is a frequency as well. And yeah. you can choose the frequencies you wish to tune into.
Absolutely right. Yes. Mm. We have so much free choice, but we are usually not brought up that way. And we, as you say, we fall for advertisements and other things which tempt us and influence us or whatever it is these days. And it's not easy to keep a calm mind or calm disposition in this world. And then we have got also the pressures at work and in our families. So it is not easy. Therefore, I think it's so important, at least in the evening, to have a review of your day and look what happened, what went right, what went wrong, to really become more aware of all these mistakes and also the good things we do. I mean, we don't have to run ourselves down. We also may have done something wonderful during the day. And we can also record that and mention that and feel that as yes. And explore how did it feel when I helped somebody, served anybody. And suddenly I come much closer to who I really am and realize that. So all these things are very important. Yes, thank you. That's good mentioning, Jay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Hans, we've been through the two videos that we were going to discuss. Is there any other videos that you'd think that the whole world needs to actually get their eyes onto before we finalize this show?
Well, I just have a very new video outcome this morning, and I can't talk about it because I just made this video. It's about one of the biggest secrets people are not aware about death. And in this video, I basically explain why is it that we do not live 200, 300 years or even eternally, why immortal? And coming again to the fact that we are here in a school, and a school is never long. The Earth is not our home planet, so we are here only, 28,000 days as an average. And this is the reason why it's short. But why, with all the energy now the doctors are now putting into extending life, etc., so much that people, you can live 150, 200 years. But no, there is a reason why we have a certain expiration date here and why we die. And Christ and it explained it very clearly. It says, you are here for a certain time. And when in during that time, you can, if you are clever and if you are wise, you undo your karma, but you can also create more karma. You can become more nasty. And the thing is also that not every person who gets older gets automatically better. Many get bitter, get sour, lonely, depressed, angry, etc., etc. All this is karma. And all this karma creates more karma, more karma, etc., etc. So we are burdening our soul. If we live longer, it will not be just sunshine and niceties and sweet bunnies and sugar cane. It will be a normal life. A normal life creates a lot of negativity. We create more karma than necessary. Therefore, there is a cutoff date, which is our time of death, which we accept to before we incarnate. We know exactly when we die, should die. And that is the reason, because as long as we are in our physical body, all our negative action, my nastiness, my evilness, etc., I can cover up with a mask. I can smile to you, and meanwhile, I think very bad thoughts about you. I can be very helpful and truth. I'm judging the person. I can do the play, this mask thing totally. I can be appear like Dorian Gray. Very pretty all his life, but in the back in the attic, his attic picture became nastier and nastier. The soul records everything, but not everything in a lifetime is shown in our face and in our behavior. So we do not have a real opportunity to look at the mirror, who am I? Very few people make this analytic evening exercise as I've mentioned earlier. So then when death comes, suddenly our soul is there without the physical body. And wow! Now we see the shadows. Now we see our addictions, our dislikes, etc. Wow, I didn't know that. This is me. And suddenly we are basic because we see our life review. We see all the actions we have done to other people, negative, and we feel them. We sense it. And that's basically not coming back as punishment. Again, just to realize the stuff we still have to clear up. And that's why life on Earth is limited. For this very reason, that we do not load up more karma, and it's also not our home where we should get stuck. Nobody needs to be stuck in college forever. I mean, that doesn't make sense. But here on planet Earth, people want to live longer, but then if you ask them, and you mentioned it earlier, there is a lot of loneliness, a lot of depression, most people are not very happy here in their lives, so there's a contradiction there for good reason. So our death is a graduation from our college days, and it has a purpose, and the purpose is self-recognition. But we can do this we don't have to wait until we die. We can do this self-recognition every evening when we sit down for a few minutes and look back on our day. Where have I gone overboard, what I've done right and wrong? When we do this, we automatically will hopefully the next days become more aware of what we are doing, thinking and thinking. So that is the last video which I just released on my website, lifeexplained.com, or on the YouTube channel. But there are many others, but I think maybe that's enough for now. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. That's perfect, Hans. I really appreciate you sharing again today, and I will link all those videos down below in the show notes. So thank you again for coming on. It's really good to see you and to hear your deep understanding that you share from your years of experience of doing this, and all credits to you. I mean, you know, you're giving a lot of goodness to the world.
Thank you so much, Sid. It was great to see you again. Maybe do it again.
Yes.
I just love to reconnect to Australia. I just feel younger or sunnier when I do that.
That's a good thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love talking to Hans. It's like having the wizened grandfather that has seen all and done all and is able to explain it so beautifully and wonderfully. And I've enjoyed again talking with Hans and his depth of understanding around karma, soulmates, reincarnation, earth school. It all came together really nicely in this one. So if you've enjoyed today's episode, you'll enjoy this one too. If you're listening on a podcast app, give me 5 stars. And if you're on YouTube, like and subscribe.